welcome to the HP Podcast, your weekly show about video games from the three most beautiful men you know. I'm Ben, and with me here today is Brandon. Hello, Brandon.
What's up, Ben?
You are one of those three men that I mentioned. I'm just lumping you in with all the rest of us, you know, just no, I'm not coming on to you again. I mean, at all.
Yeah. You said that last time. We could be described as men at work, and sure. Beautiful men. What's going on?
How you doing? I don't know. I'm just looking at Dave. Dave is wearing a beautiful, it looks like a light salmon, color shirts that is just really doing something for me, along with his like little bit of scruff. He's got his glasses on. He like pulled out all the stops here.
He looks like fucking Canadian Clark Kent or something. Like, I don't know. Is that Dave or is that Clark? I don't know.
It's Dave.
Oh, it's Dave. Yeah, it's Dave.
Yeah, it was really nice here tonight. And I wanted to, you know, start the summer of linen off early. So I've got my linen shirt on.
Beautiful. And,
yeah, it's really comfortable. It lets the air in, but it also looks nice. So yeah, nice. I feel good.
Fantastic.
You look dashing for sure. This is a show about video games, and we're about to talk about some of those very same video games that you heard about for all your life here in a moment. But first, I want to tell you about our Discord, handsomephantom.com/Discord. You can go over there and hang out with us. If you don't know what Discord even is, and you just hear me talk about Discord occasionally, it's just like a program where you can go and chat and hang out, like communities. And it's a nice little, you know, contained community of people who either enjoy or pretend to enjoy the HP podcast, and we appreciate that. And you go over and hang out with them and us. We try to be pretty involved in there. handsomephantom.com/Discord. Also, if you want to support us in a financial way, as little as $1 a month gets you ad-free early access to the shows. We really appreciate that. And no obligation at all. You still listen to the show if you want. But if you want to help us out, and we'll help you out a little bit in return, head on over to patreon.com/handsomephantom. Boys, I want to start out with, I don't know if this is the most exciting news, but I thought it was a pretty interesting news, pretty cool. The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt has sold over 50 million with an M. I guess that's actually the worst thing than billion, because that'd be the only other alien thing. 50 million copies sold. I know both of you gentlemen have played this game and enjoyed it. Brandon, tell me about your thoughts on The Witcher 3 selling 50 plus million copies.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot. And I guess, you know, if you've listened to the show ever, I've been talking about The Witcher 3 since it's come out on this show and other shows that we've had previously. Monumental achievement for CD Projekt Red really catapulted them into the stratosphere. They had talent prior to The Witcher 3, but that's kind of what set the stage for them being so big. You know, then Henry Cavill and the rest. So I don't know, guys. I think these are huge numbers, and I think that we'll obviously be seeing more. I mean, they've already announced some stuff, but this just shows that, you know, there is great interest outside of the Netflix series even. And I'm sure there's been some cross-pollination. So I wouldn't be surprised to see astronomical numbers for the next iteration. But now this is definitely well-deserved. It came out kind of rough right out the gate. I don't even honestly really remember that. I think I was maybe a little bit of a later adopter, maybe not at launch. But now this is good news. I think they're talented overall. We've talked a lot about their games, whether that be Cyberpunk or Witcher, and you can't deny they have talent. So,
Dave, your thoughts on The Witcher? All these sales, what are you gonna do with them?
Man, I'm wondering. My first thought was, where does Skyrim stack up to this? Because I'm thinking about games that have just had such staying power, and obviously Skyrim comes to mind because that's another game that spanned like 3 generations now, and it's still being re-released and sold. And I would suspect that Skyrim would be a little bit higher, but I did, you know, that's not a game that really landed with me. But you know, The Witcher 3 is one of the only games where I played through the entirety of the main campaign and all of the DLCs. Said this on the show before: if you played the main game of Witcher 3 and not played through the DLCs, they're almost better. I know that's a strong statement. That's a bold statement, but yeah, it's merited all of those copies sold. This is for me one of the greatest games of all time, if not the greatest game of all time. So yeah,
It looks like, as far as Skyrim goes, in a 2021 November episode of IGN Unfiltered, Todd Howard said Skyrim has sold far more than 30 million copies. I don't know the full context of that. So maybe they were like, I don't know. Maybe far more means a million more, or maybe far more means 20 million more. I don't know. But either way, Skyrim has sold a lot of copies.
Absolutely.
Well, anyway, congrats to them. Hopefully they can get their shit in gear for their next game to actually release in a non-broken state. The next news story I had kind of ties in, and it's not even really a news story. It's just kind of a confirmation or a deconfirmation. What's the word? What's the word I'm looking for?
Debunked.
A debunkation. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, that sounds definitely technical. Anyway, so people were speculating that Sony is going to be buying CDPR, and basically a member of CDPR came out and said, "Yeah, we're not having that discussion with Sony at the time." So, if you were hearing that, that is not the case. Apparently,
I did hear that, and I was curious. I thought it would be abnormal, but I don't know. It could work, but at least we know for sure now. Was that recently that they came out and said that?
It was the 29th.
Okay.
I wonder
which
who
was yesterday.
In theory, who would need that deal more, CDPR or Sony?
I don't know. I kind of feel like they may not be on the greatest terms and conditions with each other after what happened with the Cyberpunk release and the fact that they had a marketing deal with Microsoft and, you know, how everything's going right now. I also... Yeah, I really don't think CDPR needs it unless I'm gravely mistaken about how they're spending their money. But yeah, I don't know. It is interesting because the person who came out and clarified that is a PR individual at CD Projekt, which doesn't mean they wouldn't know, because maybe they're, you know, PR people are not necessarily, you know, just low people on the totem pole, especially when they're working for the company that they're repping. But so mergers and acquisitions, a lot of times, no one knows except for like the board until it actually goes through. But still, I don't have any reason to really think it's going through.
So you were saying it's CDPR PR?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Just making sure I followed that.
Yeah. Their profile says friendly PR rep at CD Projekt rep. Red.
Okay.
So I'm assuming that means, you know, public relations. Speaking of Sony, kind of, let's talk about Naughty Dog a little bit. And by Naughty Dog, I mean The Last of Us, whatever the heck the game's going to be called. According to Naughty Dog's Twitter post a couple days ago, it says, "The Last of Us fans, we know that many of you have been looking forward to hearing more about our Last of Us multiplayer game. We're incredibly proud of the job our studio has done thus far, but as development has continued, we've realized that it is best for the game to give it more time. Our team will continue to work on the project as well as our other games in development, including a brand new single player experience. We look forward to sharing more soon. We're grateful to our fantastic community for your support. Thank you for your passion for our games. It continues to drive us." Now, I'm sure the audience heard both of you. I was able to see both of you scoffing at what Naughty Dog shared here in this post. Yeah. Dave, why don't you go ahead, your thoughts first on the postponement of a game that hasn't even been officially announced yet, as well as there have been some other rumors that, you know, maybe they're not even going to do this at this point.
Yeah, I mean, we were just talking about this a couple of weeks ago when Overwatch 2 announced that there wouldn't be any, they cut some content that they had previously announced. And I think we, the three of us, kind of drew the parallel to like this weird Last of Us thing. So, I mean, I don't know, even know what this is. Is this like a standalone game? Is this supposed to be an extra mode that's tacked on to part two? I guess, does anybody even know? Because it's like this thing that they brought up and has never actually been shown or detailed. And do people even need multiplayer in The Last of Us? I mean, I know it was kind of a cool tack on that worked in the first one, but I don't know. It's such a weird thing. But yeah, for something that we've heard so little about for so long, it's really not surprising. But I don't know. Maybe it's probably just best to cut bait and kill it now, because I don't know, people are holding The Last of Us in pretty high regard at the moment. About beating a dead horse? Don't drag this on too long, Naughty Dog. This is getting kind of weird. That's for sure.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And you know, we had talked about this a bit in the Discord as well, but it's so strange for them to come out with almost a pseudo apology letter about something that is like, it's like saying sorry for saying sorry almost. Yeah. You know, we know so little, and I agree completely with Dave. And I said this, you know, just kill it. I do really wonder if it has to do with it not doing so well. You know, it's not living up to expectations, and they said we're very proud of it, and the statement itself makes me think that they're not very proud of it based off of all the information, or lack thereof, of what we have about this game so far. So it's just very strange, and I think that it has to be not favorable, and I agree they probably wouldn't want to lose any good grace they've earned, because they've earned so much, you know, for the IP period. I mean, not even just with the games, like with the show as well. I'm sure they don't really want it to be something tacked on, but I guess that being said, then they shouldn't have teased it so early then.
Yeah, to answer some of Dave's questions, I think the only time they ever really talked about it was before The Last of Us Part 2 even came out.
There's like concept arts. Yeah,
they were talking about it, and they said that it wasn't going to come out anymore with the game. And then ever since then, they haven't really spoken about it publicly that I can recall, unless it's been like basically saying it's in development still.
Yeah.
So we don't know. It could be exact. I mean, probably not at this point, but like maybe originally it was supposed to be exactly like Factions was, and they decided they wanted to change that around, and then it turned into something else. And I wouldn't be surprised if it turns into a full title, not just like a multiplayer, you know, add on kind of thing. But I wanted to hone in on this a little bit. The fact that they talk about they're going to continue working on this project as well as, quotes, our other games in development, plural, including a brand new single player experience. So they said our other games, plural, and they said including a singular brand new single player experience. So that could mean that, so they're working on a single player game that's brand new, and then potentially another game that is either a sequel or a remake or a reboot. And then potentially, you know, they're working on this Last of Us multiplayer game as well. Brandon, any ideas or hopes or dreams for what those could be?
The Crash of Us?
Yes.
Crash in a post-apocalyptic zombie. No. I don't know. I would assume it would be some sort of Ellie spinoff or other character spinoff. I think this is good, but I would honestly love to see them move on from the whole thing. I feel like there was such a climactic and long and emotional journey through the second one. I would love to see them maybe start a new story. I know a lot of people probably don't feel that way, but yeah, I don't know. I love the universe, and I think that they're really talented at storytelling. I would love to see something closer to the package size of The Last of Us Part 1 than The Last of Us Part 2. I would love to see something that's that size again, because The Last of Us 2 kind of droned on a bit, as far as I was concerned. So I would love to see something smaller from them, as tight, but smaller. So, Dave, or something new altogether.
Yeah, I was going to say, Dave, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I'd love to see something new. You know, they've done like the big blockbuster sort of popcorn thing with Uncharted and you know, Last of Us totally took on a whole new thing. So I'd like to see them kind of spread their wings a little bit and dip into something else. Maybe something a little bit more lighthearted, because, you know, they're excellent storytellers and they do everything so well cinematically. So, I'm a little biased because I don't really, I'm not big on the Last of Us thing. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I mean, I'm sure they and a lot of other creatives like to do things in threes. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if they're not going to continue to ride the high that they have with the Last of Us TV series and wrap up the trilogy with a third title. So I think that's probably more likely of what the single player experience is going to be. Because again, that IP is just so hot right now. And there's so many new people who didn't even know what The Last of Us was before. My right. sister like was on me for weeks. She's like, watch Last of Us. Like, I knew what this thing was like years ago. And you know, yeah. So, I mean, and there's a lot of people like her who just didn't know what it was. So
right. Did you watch it?
I didn't know. I never did. Yeah. Cause again, yeah. I'm not super high on it, but sure. I think that's most likely what we're going to get. So,
right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're obviously getting another season of the show, but that's mostly on HBO's end, not on Naughty Dog's end. And I have the feeling they're going to wrap it up with a third one, hopefully wrap it up and not drag it out further, but it would not surprise me to see more coming from them. So, more Last of Us. I don't know.
Do we think that the Uncharted is officially done then? I mean, haven't they kind of said that they're not doing any more of that? But, you know, these game companies always go back on this sort of thing. When they talk about it, it's years prior and then something else comes up. I don't know. I kind of like the whole, what was that, Thieves' End with Chloe? I thought that was great. I don't know that I necessarily need another game with those two characters, but I would love to see something else. I mean, obviously, it's just as big as The Last of Us. Maybe it surpassed The Last of Us, or the other way around. I think The Last of Us has surpassed in pop culture Uncharted somehow. But I don't know.
Thief's End was not the one with Chloe that you're thinking of. That was, I can't even say the name of it.
What is it? Thief's End is the last one.
Thief's End is the last one.
With thieves?
This is awful. People are just screaming right now. Not Golden Abyss. That was the Vita one.
Oh, Lost Legacy. No.
Lost Legacy. Yes, that's is what it is.
Yeah. That's the one you think. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, I know it's not that, but right. I can't remember what right. it is.
No, I played them all in like 3 months, so I'm not surprised that I got
the... I remember when you played them all, yeah.
The titles mixed up. But.
Yeah.
I want Nathan Drake... Last of Us and then Jack and Daxter mashup. If anybody can make that work, it's Naughty Dog.
A brawler.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, it's a puzzle strategy game. <Okay.
laughs> Speaking of brawlers, actually this isn't a brawler at all. Ratchet and Clank coming to Steam soon. It's been what, 2 years, I guess, since it came out?
Almost exactly.
Yeah, almost exactly. So that's pretty much what PlayStation said recently, was they were going to do 2 or 3 years between games. Ratchet and Clank coming to PC. I'm not interested in playing it on PC because I've already got it on PS5, and I think I've already played it. I probably wasn't going to play it again. And I don't know. I doubt either of you are, but what do you think about, you know, first party PlayStation 5 games continuing to come to PC?
I like that they're doing this waiting thing. I think it maintains value on owning a PlayStation 5, especially games like this that were launched as such statement pieces or killer sort of apps for this brand new console. I mean, Ratchet and Clank was one of the big ones. Right. I mean, that along with like Returnal, and then obviously God of War, of course, that was on last gen. But I think if you're going to sell these things as those hardcore tech demos for your new hardware, then, you know, keep them there for at least a little bit. So, you know, the early adopters felt like their investment is kind of worthwhile. You know, what Microsoft is doing is great from an accessibility standpoint, but it doesn't really make me want to go out and buy a Series X, and Brandon can tell us all about that. But yeah, I like how they're doing this, and I hope they continue to do it.
No, I agree. A Rift Apart was truly like a tech demo, you know, with the SSD and the constant shifts between worlds. So I feel like it is good to kind of keep it in-house for a while. But I'm glad to see that they've finally kind of broken on this a little bit and realized that not only is it best for the consumer to eventually allow people access to this sort of thing outside of your platform, but that it also brings them in a fuck ton of money. So I won't be repurchasing it. I mean, I had a absolutely flawless and gorgeous experience on PS5 as it was made for. So I don't really see any reason to dip my toes back into this point, especially after getting the Platinum. So,
yeah, agreed. I think I got the Platinum on that too. I think. I'm pretty certain. It's not a bad Platinum. I think it... No, yeah, because you just had to start New Game Plus and like play like 5 minutes of it.
Yeah.
I think
to
get the next part. So,
yeah.
Well, speaking of PC, let's talk a little bit about Steam. And not really even Steam, but Nintendo. And not really even about Nintendo, but the Dolphin emulator. there's a long sequence of events here. But essentially, there was a story from PC Gamer initially that Nintendo had sent a DMCA request to Valve to take down, to not put up the Dolphin emulator, which they were planning on doing. And then, of course, they were marketing it for like Steam Deck to be able to use it. And the reality is that Nintendo didn't send a DMCA takedown. They basically sent a warning shot letter basically saying, don't put Dolphin on there because we know what people use Dolphin for, and it's almost exclusively Nintendo games, essentially. At least that's their perspective on it. So the long story short here is that Nintendo is saying to Steam, to Valve, why don't you go ahead and mess around and find out?
Yeah.
And Steam seems like they've backed down, and they have not. Yeah. They have not put it on yet, but they haven't totally said they're not putting it on at all. So, Dave, first of all, we got to go to somebody who's a little less hate-filled towards Nintendo than Brandon. You know, so we got to start with you and also your deep knowledge of intellectual property rights in Japan. I figured you would be a really good person to talk to about this.
Yeah, I mean, as we've learned, especially with the recent release of Tears of the Kingdom, Nintendo is not to be fucked with when it comes to posting content or doing anything with their IP that they don't want you to do, even if it's speaking highly of it. This is an interesting little bout. This is kind of like, two UFC like heavyweights going toe to toe. Like, honestly, which I would assume that Nintendo would probably beat the shit out of Steam when it comes to, or sorry, Valve when it comes to this sort of stuff. But I'd also like to see that fight. So, yeah. I mean, Valve has made bank for several years with, PC gaming and Steam, and now the Steam Deck and all that kind of stuff. So, for them to offer, Dolphin natively on their own platform is it's a bold move. I mean, you're going toe to toe with, arguably one of the biggest sort of names in gaming. So I don't know. I've seen people playing Tears of the Kingdom at 60 FPS. So I assume people are openly kind of playing this game in a pirated state. But yeah, this is one to keep an eye on because these are two heavyweights in the industry that seem to be in a bit of a stare down right now. So it'll be curious to see what happens.
Brandon, two companies with a, for lack of a better way to say it, nearly infinite amount of money. What happens when they go to court? If they go to court,
man, I don't know. I think that's obviously and ultimately what they're trying to avoid altogether. I think that morally, I don't think that Steam has any. Like, I don't think they should need to take it down. I mean, openly, it's not like being advertised as a Nintendo emulator. Like, even if that is mainly what it's for, I'm sure the page on Steam doesn't have Mario on it. You know what I mean? So, like, I don't know. I agree. They probably don't want the smoke and they probably don't want to deal with it at all. But at the same rate, I feel like it's, it's not Steam's job to decide what every person does with the software. That could be easily as reprimandable as downloading a mod for a game that's on Steam.
Like, I mean, I will say this. Dolphin Emulator's website says at the very top, Dolphin is an emulator for the two recent Nintendo video game consoles, the GameCube and the Wii. It allows PC gamers to enjoy games for these two consoles in full HD with several enhancements, compatibility with all PC controllers, turbo speed, network, multiplayer, and even more. So, I mean, even if if Steam was like, okay, we'll let this game on totally fine, and the game was how to be a murderer, and it actually taught you how to murder people. Like, I feel like, I'm not saying that piracy and murder are comparable, although Nintendo would probably disagree with me, but there is, Dolphin does directly say this is so you can emulate Nintendo games. So I don't know. I feel like, even though I disagree, like, I kind of like, whatever, do whatever you want. I'm like, yeah, I mean, it is kind of infringing upon Nintendo's IP.
No, I mean, once again, I completely get it. Yeah. I don't think that Steam should be asked or even shoved in that direction, but that's just not the world we live in, especially Nintendo's world. So it is what it is. They could easily give you the ability. I was talking to someone at work about this. If they released on Steam Pokemon Red tomorrow, they would make easily, they would just cash in millions of dollars yeah. within a week. I'm not exaggerating. They could easily, but they force you to play through their broken, janky hardware. And, you know, I get they want to keep it in house, but even from a money making standpoint, I still don't understand sometimes why Nintendo does what they do. Like, genuinely, I do not. If you don't want emulators, fine, but at least give people the options, because clearly the desire is there. Make them pay you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Make them pay you to play it on PC. Charge $120 for Tears of the Kingdom. People will pay $120 on PC, for yeah. Tears of the Kingdom. It's like, it doesn't make any sense. And that's kind of where the breakdown comes for me. If they want to be stringent about it, I feel like at the same time, they should give people the options that they're asking for. And it's very clearly in demand. So,
sure.
Yeah, I don't get it, but whatever. It's Nintendo, so.
Devolver Digital is having their Devolver Digital Direct on June 8th at 3 p.m. I didn't really have a whole lot to say about this other than I just wanted to advertise it because I love Devolver. It's labeled The Return of Volvi. Now, you guys all remember Volvi, right? The hit video game character from way back in the day.
Did you say Volva?
Volva.
I didn't say Volva. Volvi. You know, Volvi. You remember Volvi, right?
Sure.
Wow, I can't believe you guys.
Yeah. Good wow. guy.
Seen him a time or two.
No, they're just doing an incredible viral marketing campaign with tons of influencers and stuff, pretending like Volvi is a cold character that they've been like jonesing to come back for years. It's really good.
Fall it's Guys really too?
No.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, Devolver is coming up. I would ask, like, what do you guys think we'll see there? But it would be entirely pointless to try to predict what is coming from Devolver next. Honestly, it would be
all over
impossible.
The board. Yeah, yes, all over the board.
So. Absolutely.
Which is kind of a great part about them, but still.
Hey, speaking of being all over the board, let's talk a little bit about the Lord of the Rings Gollum.
Oh God!
Ben, actually, it's not all over the board. It's at the bottom of the board. Yeah,
that's what I was gonna say. It is by no means all over. Only if there was the bottom of the board, sure. Man, this game is a pile of trash. I keep seeing on Twitter the people are collecting all of the sorry letters from all of the companies yeah. over the year, and Gollum just gets added to the wall of shame. I've seen some truly, truly, truly broken moments of this game, little clips here and there, but I'm just genuinely glad that we all saw it coming from a fucking mile away, and that none of us were unfortunate enough to make the sorry mistake of buying this game.
Well, so. Not only that, Dave, it's not only broken and buggy, it's just apparently very boring and bad. Dave, I know you were so excited about Gollum, and now you don't get you're not going to play it just because it's a 38 on Metacritic. Like, that seems a little harsh, if you ask me.
Yeah, I mean, to see a game from like such a sought after sort of IP is it's bad. Like, can you imagine a Star Wars game coming out this bad? Can you imagine like a no. Final Fantasy game coming out this bad? That's not the best thing, but Embracer Group owns the gaming rights for Lord of the Rings. I wonder how they're going to kind of clamp down after this, because it's, this is bad. And I know you're fact checking right now who wants the game.
No, I'm not. I'm looking to see what other Lord of the Rings games there have been recently.
I mean, it's, and they gave it to Annapurna and they were publishing, right? Or sorry, Daedalic. And this was
Daedalic.
This was kind of a, this Daedalic, was a risk. This was a risk from the start. Daedalic did not have much of a track record when it comes to developing games like this. We've seen how the Harry Potter franchise has kind of turned around in the last little bit, and this, it's going to kind of continue up to that quality. But this is, I hope they're looking at, you know, this property that they're developing for and really thinking, you know what, this isn't going to happen again, because it's a hell of a property to fuck up on. And I don't know.
It's Lord of the Rings. Like,
I'm sure you guys have watched on Twitch, like, this game is broken. It's not designed poorly. It's not just like it needs a few updates or anything. This is a game that was just, nobody really cared enough about. And yeah, I don't think you'll see many more risks when it comes to Lord of the Rings game after this. But well, I know we had some people in our Discord who were really looking forward to it. So there were, and I'm sure there was a lot of those people, and I really feel for them, because this was bad.
Well, this game will continue to, I mean, this game will sell copies to people who just care about Lord of the Rings IP and aren't necessarily, they're, for lack of a better word, they're normies. They're not people who are plugged into the industry. They don't really look at reviews. They see Gollum on the shelf and then they buy it. But here's the real reason I brought this up. According to GameWatcher.com, quote, Daedalic Entertainment has a second Lord of the Rings game in development, set to release prior to the end of August 2024. The German publisher and developer recently released its first effort based on Tolkien's popular universe, Gollum, which so far accounts amongst the year's worst games. As spotted by Games Witchcraft via Google Translate, the Daedalic Entertainment's second Lord of the Rings game is a 3D action adventure in a lush world of mythical creatures and magic. Much like Gollum, it is set to tell an original story, allowing players to discover completely new regions and influence the events of the world within the scope of their role and abilities, etc., etc. Here's the really interesting thing. The title, codenamed It's Magic, has attracted government funding via the German Games Fund, amounting to 2,036,000 ish, whatever this denomination is. I think it's euros, which represents up to 50% of total development cost. According to the website, only 5 other games have been granted a higher subsidy from Germany's federal government. Daedalic has not officially announced it yet, but wow. Can you imagine them working on, and I assume they had to like disclose their financial things or whatever for stockholders or whatever, and that's how this got out. But can you imagine not just pulling the IP from them, even if there's an agreement in place, like pay them off somehow? But I imagine if they're getting government funding, like maybe that's why this game came out. Nobody who looked at this game before it came out and said, yeah, this is fine. Maybe we should charge $70 for this.
Maybe it's like a Skull and Bones situation where there were kind of contractual obligations to a local government to actually put this thing out the door. And it was just like, this is our obligation, is to get this thing out.
But, that was kind of my thought. The difference, I think, with Skull and Bones and this game is that Skull and Bones coming out in the state like Gollum is could potentially destroy Ubisoft because of its publicly traded situation. Wait, is it publicly traded? Now I got to look. Ubisoft publicly traded.
I think they're on. Yeah, they are traded.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I said it and then I immediately was like, wait. Okay. So yes, they're publicly traded. I think it could totally destroy them. Daedalic, you know, not so much. They put out a game. It's really bad. They suffer, but hey, they still got their costs mostly paid for because of the German Games Fund. It just seems crazy, but I can't imagine being the rights holder and not being like, yeah, you're not making another one. Well, I can't imagine being the rights holder and not being like, yeah, well, you need to check it out like at intervals before release.
Yeah, wow. I don't know, man. The fact that there's potentially another one in the pipeline and so soon.
Yeah.
I just pray that this was the one they had to shit out and the next one they've been working, putting most of their resources in, because this is like promotional PS2 level type video game type shit. It's bad. Yeah. Man.
It's made Redfall look pretty good, eh?
No. Yeah, I was going to say it makes Redfall look like a fucking. Yeah, somehow. Yeah, we've had some stinkers. And it, I mean, I know we're getting to be halfway in the year, but we've... It's been a rough year for some of these games, boys. It's been rough. We've had some good ones, and we're going to continue to have some really awesome ones come out this year. But we can't forget, at the end of the year, we should do like a wall of shame. At the end of the year, for sure, when we talk about our New Year's resolutions. So,
coming soon to Xbox Game Pass, available today: Chicory, A Colorful Tale, a top-down adventure game in a coloring book world where you can draw on anything. Far World Pioneers on console and PC. Says that this game is dropping onto Game Pass, day one available. Open world sci-fi sandbox. Expand, exploit, and adventure alone or with friends in multiplayer servers of up to 32 players. Craft, build, mine, farm, etc. Coming soon, Car Mechanics Simulator 2021. Let's go, sim games. Good Brandon, shit. You going to play the car sim game with me?
Fuck no, dude. You got to like every nut and bolt of a whole car, dude. Yeah. It's too much. I bless know. Whoever plays that shit.
Yeah, I'll stick to my Power Wash game. It's fine. Slayer's X, Terminal Aftermath, Vengeance of the Slayer. Available day one, Game Pass. I don't know anything about that. The Big Con. Runaway teen con artist, choose who to grift and how to make. I assume this is essentially. I don't have any idea. I'm not going to say what I think it is. Amnesia: The Bunker, June 6th. Hypnospace Outlaw, June 6th. This was a game that was on Game Pass previously, and I kind of was interested in checking it out, but I never did. So maybe I'll give it a look once it's coming back now. Rune Factory 4 Special, stacking. This is an old game.
Yeah,
this is like 2010 era, somewhere in there, 2010, 2012, somewhere in there. It's from Double Fine, and it makes sense that it would be coming to Game Pass since it's Double Fine, I guess. I assume they would leave it on there now that it's coming. Dordogne or Dordogne. I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's available. It's a day one Game Pass drop. And then, that's pretty much it. There's nothing that really looks super duper interesting to me, but leaving is Bridge Constructor Portal, Chorus, which actually did look interesting to me, Maneater, which we all love, Mortal Shell, Serious Sam 4, and Total War Three Kingdoms. Anything here you guys are interested in checking out before it comes or after it comes? Or before it leaves or after it comes?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, after Redfall come out, I'm kind of considering canceling my Game Pass for a couple months, to be honest with you. I've looked through the library, and recently there's not been too much that I've wanted to play. And so I think until something really strikes my fancy, I might just get rid of it. That might be till Starfield, who knows? But honestly, the what's leaving this month is so much more interesting than the what's coming. Mm. And that's happened since Redfall has come out. So I'm just, I don't know. Right. We'll see. But I don't really feel like I'm getting my value right now. And once Diablo comes out,
that's a good point.
I won't need it, boys. It's a week away.
Did you see the reviews today on Diablo?
I did, bro. We could talk about that a little bit if you want. But I'm really excited for Diablo, but nothing really for Game Pass, to be honest with you. Dave, is anything standing out to you? Because it's all been kind of weak lately for me, to be honest with you. So
yeah, I mean, you guys kind of poke fun at it a bit, but to be honest, Car Mechanic Simulator sounds pretty cool. I'm like you, Brandon. I don't have Game Pass right now. I canceled it after Redfall. I was just too furious. But Car Mechanic Simulator, it sounds like a simulator game that I can get behind. I wonder if there's like a mini game, like there's dialogue options where like a customer comes in like to replace like a windshield wiper or do an oil change, and you have to convince them that like they need an entire new engine or something. That would be fun. That would be a sim sort of experience. But
the upsell mechanic.
That's the only one I can think of that jumps up, but probably not enough for me to renew that Game Pass just yet. So
yeah, I might just be a sucker. I don't have a lot of subscriptions, but Game Pass is one of those ones that I just keep all the time because there's inevitably always something I might dive into, even if it's just something chill like Loop Hero or Power Wash or something like that. Like sometimes I need that 10 to 15 minute game, and I don't know, it's so much easier for me just to keep it. It when I say easier, I literally mean easier. I don't mean more practical. It's just easier for me not to cancel and then be like, oh shit, Game Pass is, I don't have Game Pass and I want to play that game, because I'll just jump into random stuff. And there's so much of the back catalog that I still need to get through, or want to get through. I don't need to get through anything. I just, there's old games that I either haven't played or haven't played in completion or whatever, that, you know, I just keep thinking to myself, I'll play that. I'll play that. That's there. I want to have access to that. And, you know, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But I definitely respect the cancel and resubscribe model, because it is something I cannot manage to bring myself to do with this service specifically, at least. Other services, I have no problem with it. All right, boys, that is pretty much the news. We are going to have a little bit of a shorter show this evening, because I got to go within about 15 minutes here. But before we go, of course, we want to talk about what we've been playing. Dave, let's start with you.
Well, I've just been playing Tears of the Kingdom. Still, I just finished the... Anyways, yeah, it's still... I'm having fun with it. I'm equal parts irritated with it and equal parts having a good time with it. You know, the weapon degradation system in the game is still fucking annoying. And yeah. I do like that you can meld stuff together. I have a lot of fun with that. But at the same time, it's just irritating, like getting three or four shots in on something. And then your so-and-so, your Boko blade is getting weak. I don't know if it like adds like a layer of like stress or resource management that some people really like. But for me, it's just... I don't know. I'm 30 hours in or so, and I'm kind of looking forward to wrapping this up and moving on. Because, you know, the game that everybody is talking about, which comes out, you know, fairly soon, I'm pretty excited to jump into, which of course is Deep Rock Galactic Season 4, June 16th. Hey. So Deep Rock Galactic, I just wanted to point this out. New trend is the Leaf Lover suicide run. That is all the craze. So what happens is you spawn into the space rig, you sprint over to the Abyss Bar as fast as possible, you order a Leaf Lover, which is the worst beer you can order in the game, and then you have to jump through the barrel ring to kill yourself with a Leaf Lover in your hand. So remember, folks, if you're ever having a bad day, there is something as the Deep Rock Galactic community that exists, because they do stupid shit like this all the time. So I'm playing Zelda and looking forward to getting back into Deep Rock Galactic. So
nice. Brandon.
Yeah, I've honestly just been playing that as well. My console says I've played 75 hours, but I think it's probably closer in the 60s. I've done about 80 shrines, and I have done 3 of the main quests. So I'm really trying to hammer down on this. I want to get it finished up and wrapped up fully. And I think I've set a good pace to finish it up by the time Diablo comes out. Obviously not completely. There is a never-ending amount of things to do in these sort of games, but right. Really, really just genuinely enjoying myself. Last week, I felt myself like stagnating a bit. And I think that's because I was really just fully exploring. But now that I've completed a lot of side quests and a lot of side adventures, I've kind of started to do a lot of the main stuff. And that's kind of helped propel me along. Yeah, this game is amazing. I know I kind of said that last week, and we've kind of said it every week since. But it truly is amazing how the last game can be so good, and this one seems so much better in so many ways. Yeah. I think that for the longest time, I was really kind of turned off by the idea of the weapon degradation, and I still am. Don't get me wrong. I would love to see it go, but I have started to like instantly and very quickly build weapons on the fly, and I'm using monsters that I'm constantly killing as new fuel for my weapons. And so now that I've kind of found that groove, it's kind of stressed me out way less. I guess it's just getting used to the game. I've played it enough now that I'm feeling mighty comfortable with the combat. And that's taken a long time because the buttons are different because it's Nintendo, but yeah, now that I've kind of gotten in the groove, it's been really rewarding. So
yeah, I haven't played it nearly as much as I would like to of Zelda in total, or this last week. I feel like I've just been swamped down with stuff, and the little bits of time I've had to play, I've either been committed for you know, streaming appointments with friends, or I call it appointments, I don't know why, but you know what I mean? Scheduled things with friends, or another game, which I'll talk about briefly here in a minute, but I'm just really enjoying it. I just wish I had more time to play. And that's, I played like 30 hours in the first 10 days it was out, and then I've barely gotten to play since then. So it's a little bit disappointing, but hey, you know, it's going to be there for a long time for me. I don't have to rush through it. And that's kind of the beauty of it. But I'm just having fun exploring. I've barely done any mainline stuff. As for the other game, I've been playing Hunt Showdown. I've played it. It's probably only been like 4 or 5 hours this week. And our buddy Dustin bought it for me a couple years ago, actually, because he wanted to play. And then we played once and never again. So the other night, my other friend Justin was talking about wanting to play an extraction shooter. And this is what we decided we were going to play. So basically, in Hunt, you know, if you don't know it, it's been out 5 years. I don't know how you don't know it. But you go in, there's six other teams, up to six other teams, I think. And you go in, you have these common objectives, and you try to do them and get out. And it's set like in the old Wild West, essentially, old towns. There's zombies, there's giant monsters. Honestly, they're like Souls-style monsters, some of them are. They're really tough to beat. And you got to beat them, you got to steal part of them and get out. And everybody can see certain things on the map, so it makes it really heart racing, and you never know when somebody's going to just come jump you. And I've only played, probably in total, including what I played with Dustin a couple years ago, I don't know, 10 hours of this game, but I'm really enjoying it. And it wasn't what I expected to be playing this week for some reason, but whenever a friend was looking for a game and you have that game, you make them buy it so that you can play it again because you wanted to play it. So, yeah, I'm enjoying it. I don't know how long I'll keep playing it or whatever, but it's fun, and I already had it. So thanks, Dustin, for buying me a game I would play more 2 years later. I appreciate that. And that's it. That's really all I've got this week. I've been struggling to get a lot of different things I wanted to get done. So I'm glad I got a little gaming in, I guess. All right.
That's it.
I was like, for a second there, you didn't move at all or speak, and I thought I got disconnected.
Well, full disclosure before we leave, the reason the episode is slightly shorter this week is my fault, not because Ben has to leave early. So just got to slip that in there.
Well, that's all right. I didn't mind. I mean, the reason I have to leave is my fault, but the reason we started late is your fault. But yeah, that's okay. Yeah. We all have things. Real quick though, I wanted to talk about Diablo. Brandon, just real quick, you said you wanted to talk about it. Diablo.
Yeah.
Crazy reviews.
No, yeah, it's just reviewing really well. We talked about it before. I mean, the beta test made me think that it was going to come out in a good state. I think the proof will be in the pudding. We kind of talked about this a couple weeks ago, but we will actually see what happens when the cards fall on launch day. But this is a good sign. I kind of had a feeling things were going to be good, and I often don't feel that way. You know, I think the content's going to be good either way, but I guess we will see how the network side stacks up. So yeah, this is good news. I've not pre-ordered yet.
And what the monetization looks like after the fact.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, there's literally no way to be able to know for sure, but I know I'll at least be jumping in for a season or two, most likely minimum, because I just enjoy this game, and I've enjoyed the games in the past. So cool stuff. I want it. You know what I mean? I'm there. So,
yep. And Dave, you're not playing, but you're going to enjoy listening to us talk about it, right?
I might jump in.
Oh, yeah? Okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
how dare you? Yeah. I thought you said you were playing Deep Rock Galactic. What am I supposed to think here?
I can play two games that start with the letter D.
That's true.
Double D.
You're right, Brandon. Reviews are great, but let's see what it looks like first weekend. But hey, we're not going to remember that in a month from now because we're all going to be playing it and loving it. But good for that.
Sitting at 90. It's pretty good. All right. Thank you all for listening. Remember, patreon.com/handsomephantom, little as a dollar a month. We appreciate your support over there. Discord.com. Nope. Handsomephantom.com/discord. I always mess it up. Doesn't matter how many times. Discord is a place to be if you want to hang out with us. We appreciate you listening. Thanks for hanging out. I will see you next time.
The HP Podcast is made possible by our patrons over at patreon.com/handsomephantom. The following patrons are at the $5 or above level, and we appreciate their support. Wormhat, Toby Ryland, Charles Peterson, Edward Walton, Josh Cummings, Jared, Poot, Boots, Passive Pixels Edwin Castillo, Maurice Bays, Apestrons, Brian, Nuke Dukem, and Derek O.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.